In other words, if the tribes of Israel are lost, how is it Ezekiel doesn't know any better than to continue calling them Israel? So as you read Ezekiel, pay attention to that word. That word straightens this doctrine out. Listen, we don't need nationalistic pride that, we're undefeatable. We are true Israel. All the blessings of God upon us as a nation. No, it isn't. It's upon us as individuals if we're born again.
Amen.
But America is anything but Israel. Take a quick look at the following scriptures with me just to see some key. Here, from the New Testament. In other words, let's look at some New Testament. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12, talking about the disciples, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, nor into any of the cities of the Samaritans. Don't enter those. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Poor Jesus didn't know that you couldn't find them anyway. They were scattered all over the world. What did Jesus mean, and who did the disciples go to? The people living in Palestine at the time of His ministry. He called them the lost of the house of Israel. And then He went on to say in chapter 10, verse 23, "Now when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man is come." So he's talking about cities of Israel in his lifetime. Okay, hard to call it that if there's no Israel around. Now let me say this. People either see it right or they go to another extreme. I've had people get furious at me afterwards for saying that those of us that believe in Jesus are spiritual Jews. I've had preachers, I've had elders, I've had laymen get furious at me and come up to me because they're anti-Semitic. And say, "I ain't no kind of Jew. Don't you call me any kind of Jew. I hate Jews." And of course they hate Jews, they tell me, because Jews put Jesus to death. And the Christ killer. Moreover, my sin, if there hadn't been a Jew around, would have nailed Jesus to the cross without that. Moreover, the Romans and the Jews, Gentile and Jew, put Jesus on that cross. The Jews bore false witness. The Romans actually nailed him there. All right, so it was a joint venture. All right, now. So here's what we have. One group wants England and America to be Israel and be getting all the blessings promised Israel. They don't believe in Jews. They hate Jews. The name Jew to them means the ones that killed Jesus were Jews. And somebody else is here. See, all of the Israelites went to England long before Jesus got there. So that when Jesus got there, according to their teaching, there were no Israelites in the land of Palestine. Just dirty old Jews from Judah. Well, that's a real problem, since the Bible calls Jesus the Lion of the tribe of Judah. See, Jesus was himself a Jew from Judah. So people that hate Jews that claim to be Christians are really out of context and off base. Jesus is a Jew. Let's get it straight. All right? Now, look at chapter 15 of Matthew, verse 24. He answered and said, he is Jesus. He's speaking to the Syrophoenician woman who wants him to come and help her daughter. "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I'm showing you that Jesus is saying that the people that lived in Palestine when he was ministering were Israel, not just Jews from Judah. Okay? Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 16. Oh, paper slide. Verse 16 of Luke. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." It's speaking of John the Baptist. It says John the Baptist is going to turn many of Israel to God. "And he shall go forth before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord," Israel. Malachi, now compare that to Malachi 3. And you'll see quickly that God calls Israel and Judah synonyms many times in the Bible. Why? Because Israel came down and joined and merged with Judah in these migrations that we just read about. Hold. "I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple," speaking of the Messiah, "even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Verse 4. "Then shall the offering of Judah," that's Judah, "and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in days of old and in former years." So I'm trying to show you, when you compare Malachi to the fulfillment of Malachi, or partial fulfillment, here in Luke 1, One he called Judah, and the other he called Israel. Okay, making no distinction between the two. Luke chapter 1, verse 80. Speaking of John the Baptist, and the child grew, became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts until his showing unto Israel. Israel. Chapter 2, verse 25 of Luke. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was a righteous and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation of Israel is the Messiah. Okay. Said the consolation of Israel. It didn't say of Judah, said of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And then verse 38 of chapter 2, speaking of Anna, the prophetess, said, coming in at that instant, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So you see here that the redemption in Jerusalem is the same thing as the consolation of Israel, comparing verse 25 to 38. John chapter 1, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite. Indeed. Well, what do you know? He wasn't in England or America. In whom there is no guile. All right? Chapter 3 of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of who? The Jews. Now, wait a minute. We've just been reading verse after verse that said these people living in Palestine when Jesus was there were of Israel. Now it says the leader, the teacher, Nicodemus, was a Jew. And then compare that to verse 10 of John 3. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said unto him, art thou the teacher of Israel and don't know these things? Wait a minute. It said he was a ruler of the Jews, and here it says he's the teacher of Israel. Can you see when you compare Scripture with Scripture that he's calling indistinguishably the Jew and Israel the same thing? Well, I hope you can, because I've got just a couple more of those. I want to nail this thing down forever. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, Jews, see, Judea, be it known to you and hearken to my words. Then compare what he said there to verse 22. He's talking to the same crowd. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Here he called them men of Judah. Here he called them men of Israel. Chapter 4, verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Israel. Verse 27 of chapter 4. For a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. He's still calling them Israel here in the book of Acts. Acts 26, verse 7. At the end of Paul's ministry. Okay? Almost at the time of his death. Under which promise our 12 tribes earnestly serving. He said the 12 tribes were earnestly serving God even at that moment. How can that be if 10 of them are lost? I'm trying to show you, see, it isn't lost. All right? He says, so and so. And then he says this. He says, for that hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. How do you like that? He says the 12 tribes are Jews. And here he says, they're Israel. So I'm trying to show you that there's one group that wants America and England to be Israel and hates Jews. And there's another group that thinks Israel is lost somewhere and loves only Jews. And they're all confused. One group wants each. There's a bunch that wants to make both the special bunch. And the final and finale is Paul. And nothing could be clearer to me than this. Well, before Paul, James, the brother of Jesus. James chapter 1, verse 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He said in his day they were scattered, but not lost. He knew. See, he's writing a letter. He knows how to reach these guys by letter. All right, I just thought I'd point that out. Now, let's compare Paul, what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. Paul says, are they Hebrews? Speaking of false prophets. So am I. Paul says, I'm a Hebrew. He wasn't ashamed to call himself a Jew. Hebrew, the word Jew is just a short for Hebrew. Are they Israelites? So am I. Paul says, I am an Israelite. He didn't think Israel was lost. He said he was one. And then look what he goes on to say. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Now compare that to what Paul said about himself in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin? Oh, Benjamin was part of the kingdom of Judah. Son of a gun. And I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So you see that Paul said, I'm both a Jew and a Hebrew. and of the tribe of Israel. You see that? Now, lastly, to just show you basic history, Hosea chapter 3, verse 4. We're not going to read it. Now, listen. Just listen. Hosea 3, 4 says this, that there's going to come a time in Israel when there will not be a king on the throne. And it'll be a long time. And they won't have an altar for a long time because of their sin. Now, there's many other scriptures that teach the same thing. In Psalms 89, when God revealed this to David, see, it isn't that there won't be a son of David alive. That could, there's a human being on this planet right now that's kin to David, that's a male, that can sit on the throne. There will always be one of those. But don't worry about it. He isn't important anyway. Because when that throne is established, have you noticed Israel is a nation today, but they're not a kingdom? They don't have a king? When that throne is established, Jesus himself will do it. Now, I'm bringing this up now because as we go into Ezekiel next week, you will see Ezekiel also mention the fact that the scepter of Israel is thrown to the ground and no one is sitting on the throne, and they won't do it for a long time until the one that has the right to hold that scepter comes, which is a reference back to Genesis 49, until Shiloh comes. The word Shiloh in Hebrew, according to a Jewish rabbi that I talked to, means the exact image of the living God. All right, now, then look with me. Hey, how can this be true? They're trying to say that there has to be someone sitting on a throne. A man sitting on the throne, because the scriptures promise someone will sit on the throne. No, it says someone will be alive that could. And God will let them sit as long as they don't sin against him. But here are the rulers in England. You can go home and check your own encyclopedia out. I just made an overlay of mine. Here are a bunch of Saxons. But look here, Great Zot. From 1016 to 1042, Danes from Denmark sat on the throne of England. Well, they sure weren't part of the tribe of Danube. No, sir. Then look down here. From William the Conqueror, 1066. He was a Norman, and they had Norman kings all the way to 1399 from 1066. In fact, there's Richard the First, Richard the Lionhearted. I went past them. Wrong date. Normans were from 1066 to 1154. The Normans were Scandinavians who moved down to France, settled on the coast of France. That we remember the Battle of Normandy in World War II. They crossed the English Channel under William the Conqueror in 1066, one of the great dates in all history that you had to memorize. And so for years and years, we had Scandinavians sitting on the throne. I'm trying to show you that the whole doctrine falls apart because it never really happened. Anyone that believes this doesn't know anything about the Bible. And number two, hadn't even gone to a simple encyclopedia and looked up a little British history. Look at this. Hey, see, to rule on the throne of David, you had to be from one family. The Messiah and all had to come from one family. They had to be from the tribe of Judah, from the family of David. Anyone else is a phony. Well, look here at this bunch of kings of England, the Plantagenet family. And look who followed them up here, the family of Lancaster. And after the family of Lancaster was the House of York. And then another bunch of House of Lancaster. And then the House of York. And then the House of Tudor. You remember the War of the Roses between the Yorks and the Tudors? One was the red rose and one was the white rose. These are totally different families. This is not the same family that you've got to be to honor the Scripture, you know, if they are trying to honor this Scripture. Oh, don't they know that from 1649 to 1653, there was no king of England? There was a parliament, a commonwealth? Oh, my stars, what happened to the theory? Oh, didn't they know from 1653 to 1658, Oliver Cromwell sat on the throne, or rather ruled England, but not as a king, but as a protectorate? And didn't they know for 1 year, from 1658 to 1659, that his son Richard sat and governed, but not as a king? Oh, my stars above, enough of this foolish teaching. Then came the House of Stuart again, and from 1714, let's really get ugly and see what happened. Look, what about this? We're supposed to have sons of David on the throne? What about this girl named Mary here in 1689? And what about Anne in 1702 to 1714? And how about down here of the House of Hanover? My stars above, Queen Victoria, 1837 to 1901. There was certainly no son of David sitting on the throne then. And my stars above, have you noticed even today we have Elizabeth sitting on the throne from 1952, and we've still got an Elizabeth on the throne? So once and for all, beloved, first of all, it's not true Bible teaching. Secondly, it's not even an eighth grader's understanding of English history. And lastly, so why am I saying it? Because Ezekiel continually shows you the truth of this by calling them Israel, 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 yet it's well over 100 years, nearly 200 years after Israel has been carried into captivity. But the saved Israelites had already moved to Judah. The saved Israelites became incorporated into the kingdom of Judah and were carried away into Babylonian captivity. Lastly, as Americans, we have enough pride. Nationalistic pride is what made Nazi Germany, Nazi Germany. No, I am not proud to be an American. I'm happy that of all the countries God could let me have been born in and live in, it was America. But proud to be American, no, I am not proud of any nation that murders millions of babies. I'm not proud of any nation with a political system such that the President of the United States knows abortion is a sin, says abortion is a sin, and is against abortion, and it has not got the power to do one jolly thing about it. I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud of a Congress that won't do anything about it. And I'm not proud of a state legislature that won't do anything about it. And I'm not proud of Christians that won't call it murder. No, I'm happy that I live in America. But I understand that if God is righteous, judgment is coming on this country. Or else God is going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. No, nationalistic pride is what made Nazi Germany, Nazi Germany. We don't need that kind of pride. We are not Manasseh. England is not Ephraim. Believe it or not, I've had 5 people ask me about that theory in this room in the last month. Why don't you go back and check over those scriptures and look at them for yourself and prove that out for yourself? How many times would I have to commit adultery to be an adulterer? How about one? Wouldn't you say one would do it? How many times would I have to murder someone to be called and be, in fact, a murderer? Would we all agree one would be enough? One would suffice. How many times must you give a false prophecy to be a false prophet? One would be enough. So I want you to understand that the worldwide church of God is neither. It's not worldwide. Praise God, there's only about 250,000 of them. And secondly, it isn't the church of God. Neither Garner Ted Armstrong nor his father are men of God. Now, I don't tell you that to hurt any of your feelings. Some of you may belong to that. But so that you can know they've told you wrong, and you can repent and leave that bunch and come back to Jesus. I just want to call one thing to your attention to wrap all this up that we spoke about concerning British Israel. Israelites from all tribes, or rather, though Israelites from all tribes, came down to Judah, migrated down there several times. We learned about that this last session. There are Israelites from the 10 northern tribes that are scattered as a people. And though all the tribes were greatly represented in the kingdom of Judah and were identified with the kingdom of Judah when they came down there and settled, they became members of the kingdom of Judah, even though they were from the other 10 tribes that had originally been the north, Israel. And though they were no longer affiliated with, quote, the kingdom of Israel, you'll notice that nevertheless, both kingdoms are still referred to in the Bible after this. Though all people from all the 10 tribes came down and settled in Judah and became members of the kingdom of Judah, there still is a kingdom of Israel left up there that did get scattered and dispersed. And the Bible, so there's not any 10 lost tribes, no matter where they are, because people from every tribe came and settled in Judah. Judah became actually Though it was still the kingdom of Judah, it had all 12 tribes represented in it. Nevertheless, the Bible goes on to teach that eventually God will gather the dispersed from the kingdom of Israel that did not come down and align themselves with Judah, and eventually realign them to Judah, and again make one people, one nation, one kingdom again, and that they would be reunited in the millennial kingdom under the Messiah. So don't fail to see that truth. Though we tried to show you last time that all the tribes were represented in Judah. And beloved, that is the plain truth. Would you pray with me? Father, give us the grace to, as you have told us in Peter, be ready at all times to give a reason for why we believe what we believe, and that if we're going to speak, that we should speak as the very oracle of God. Father, I thank you that you have shown us tonight, in these closing minutes, many, many scriptures that protect us from error and from the sin of nationalism. Father, remind us that though this may not have seemed important to some of us, that Lord Jesus, you have told us that if your words abide in us and we abide in your words, we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. And so, Father, remind us that the opposite of that is true, that if we don't abide in truth, we won't be free, and that the opposite of truth is always bondage. And so thank you for showing us your word tonight so that we are set free to not give our hearts and souls to America, but our hearts and souls to you, while being thankful that we live in America. In Jesus' name, amen.